Man, don't you hate drugs? Amen. Be so glad when the Lord comes and delivers us out of all this junk. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody said the other day, you can be turning your Bibles to Titus chapter number 1. Right after the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus chapter number 1. Somebody said to me the other day, I wish I'd give anything if I could go back and be a teenager again. Maybe in the 50s. But I wouldn't trade places with one of our teenagers today for nothing in the world. Probably about the most dangerous thing I ever saw as a teenager is a Quaalude. And that was just kind of a downer. I never took one. I took speed one time, and you should have seen that. Amen. I'm like old brother Kurt Howard. I make coffee nervous. Amen. But I mean, there was this stuff now, man, is just rotting these kids' brains out. It's unreal, unreal. Let's remember and pray for the Ramsey family. Y'all glad you saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
I told Chase this afternoon, we're sitting at the house, and I've just been mulling over this thought all day long. And Brother Charles, Brother Freddie, some of these preacher guys will understand when you've got it in here and you can't get it down here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've just got a thought in your mind. And I told Chase, I said, man, you know how tough it is sometimes to come up with something relevant to say three times a week, amen? And it seems like sometimes you're just grasping at straws. But I don't know if it'll be a big help tonight, but I hope it will. Titus chapter number 1. I want to look at one verse of Scripture. Keep your Bibles out. We'll turn to a few more tonight. But I won't keep you very long, but I just want to plant a thought in your heart or maybe a reminder. I love that old song that says, remind me again, Lord. And by the way, y'all pray my microphone gets here by Sunday. I ordered a new one. It's supposed to be here by Friday. Lord, will not hate preaching with this thing because you can't turn pages. You can't do nothing. But anyway, Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the much of the truth, which is after godliness. It's a little too late to get my glasses out now. I guess we got through it. I'm digging for them because I can't hardly see. I want to back up and look at one word in this verse and talk about it just for a minute tonight. Paul said, Paul, a what?
Servant.
Y'all talk to me. Paul, a what?
Servant.
A servant of God. Several times throughout the Bible, Paul refers to himself as a servant. And by the way, if you're saved, we ought to be serving. Would you agree to that? And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. This is the Wednesday night crowd. But if we're saved, there ought to be something we are doing for God. I think the Apostle Paul didn't mean this. I don't think he felt that this was a demeaning title to him. I think he thought it was a great honor to consider himself a servant of God. Don't you? Don't you think he thought it was a blessing to be considered a servant of God? I met a man out in California. And he went on and on and on and on and on about his son being on the president's detail. His son's in one of the branches, Brother Greg, I forgot which branch of the service, but he's on the president's detail. He goes in before the president arrives and sets up all this communication stuff. And every time I'd go out there, I noticed year after year, he would tell me that all over again. Did I tell you my son? Of course, this was when George Bush was president. He hadn't mentioned it since. Anyway, by the way, did I tell you that my son was on the president's detail? And I thought, yeah, the last three times I was here, you told me that. And evidently he was proud to say that his son served directly under the president of the United States. Amen? I mean, that's an honorable thing, wouldn't you say? Well, I just want to say to you tonight, I think it's an honorable thing to consider ourselves as servants of Christ. Amen? Listen, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in this thing of what we're doing, whether it be the bus ministry or Sunday school or children's church, junior church, patch club, peewee club, the teens or whatever it may be. We get so caught up in doing this stuff that we lose the joy of getting to do it. Amen. I get there. Come on, y'all be honest. You ever get there? You ever feel like it's a chore to have to get up and to go? And man, I got to go to Sunday school. I got to get a lesson ready. No, you get to. Amen. I just want to remind you of that tonight. Listen, you don't have to go to hell tonight. You're on your way to heaven because you're saved by the blood. All your sins have been forgiven. If you'll remind yourself of that day in and day out, when you wake up in the morning, look self in the face in the mirror and say, hey, self, you're on your way to heaven when you die. If you'll keep that in the forefront of your mind, it'll be much easier to serve God. Sometimes through this walk, man, we get to the place where we feel like we're doing God a favor. We feel like we're really doing God a great service. God's really blessed because I'm here. I'm not Joel Osteen, I'll tell you the truth. God could get this thing done without us. Do you understand that? He could dispatch some angels to come down here. He can do whatever he wants. God could come down in an audible voice and say, hey, world, get saved or go to hell. He could rip the gates of hell open, let them see it real good. Everybody would get saved then, amen? He can do whatever he wants to. But he chose to use you and me. And you ought to count that thing a joy, man. And you ought to count that thing a privilege that, hey, I get to do something for God. Amen. When my wife calls me and says, honey, could you? And before she even asks what, I tell her yes, because I count it an honor to be able to do something for her because I love her. And when the Lord gives us a task to do or a job to do, man, it ought to excite us and thrill us. How many preachers we got in here tonight? That's quite a few, probably 10 or so. You remember the first time you got to preach? You remember how excited you were? I mean, that's an exciting thing. I didn't sleep the night before. I walked off during the special singing 3 times, went to the bathroom and puked. That's how tore up I was about doing something for God. And if we're not careful, we get to the place where we get comfortable in it. And it's not exciting anymore, and it's not fun anymore. It becomes more of a duty instead of a delight. And by the way, when you get to that place where you feel like it's just a duty, stay there till the delight comes back. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say it again. Just stay there till the delight comes back. It will. Amen. Especially if your heart's right with God. Amen. I remember the very first time I preached outside of my home church, White Oak Springs. I went and preached on that. It was a youth Sunday when they, you know, a lot of churches have fifth Sunday like we're going to, and we're going to have our young guys preach Sunday night. We don't always do that, but a lot of churches on the fifth Sunday night, they'll have, or the fifth Sunday, they'll dedicate that to their teens. And this church had called and asked me to come and preach to their young people on that Sunday. Well, I got up there and preached my heart out best I knew how, and it's probably only the second or third time I'd preached to begin with. And when it was over, I was standing at the back door with the preacher, and we were shaking hands, and this guy came by, and he shook my hand, and he was trying to put something in my hand. I was jerking my hand back. I said, what are you doing? He said, brother, here's your check. I said, a check? For what? He said, for coming to preach for us today. Brother, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
I thought, dude, what you don't understand is I pay you, amen?
Amen.
Gladly, I'd have paid you twice that to let me come preach, amen? And I'll never forget that. Now, I went home and I stuck it in my pocket, and I went to Brother Earl the next service we had, my pastor. I didn't cash the check. I went to Brother Earl. I said, Brother Earl, am I supposed to take that? He said, yeah. Are y'all listening? But I was just thrilled to get to do it. I wasn't interested in what I was going to get out of it. There's some evangelists, especially in the Southern Baptist Association, if you call to book them to come preach, they tell you their price. They tell you what type of hotel they have to stay in. They tell you they have to fly first class. I'd tell you to stay home. Y'all all right? I had a singer come in one night. They called me. I'd say his name. Everybody'd know who it was. But I had a singer come in one night. He called me on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, I'm talking about short notice, friend. He said, our family was with Brother Willard this morning up in Gainesville, and we wanted to know if we could come by and be with you tonight. I said, sure. He said, now, you know, I've got the whole family traveling with us. We require, he said, $1,500 and 3 motel rooms. I said, well, I'll tell you how I operate. I'll take up a love offering. If it's $15, that's what you get. If it's $15,000, that's what you get. Y'all listening? They pulled up in the $450,000 motorhome. He stepped out of that motorhome. I said, why did I book rooms? He started unloading all his equipment, and I said, uh-uh. I said, I want you like I saw you the first time I ever met you. I don't want all them tracks and them recordings. I want your family to sing.
Amen.
And I want you to play your guitar, and that's it.
Amen.
Y'all okay? When we, and I never get the message. When we get to the place where we're serving God, if our motives have changed. There's some of you sitting in here tonight, if my mother or any other one of these teachers, Brother William or Brother Freddie, if one of these guys called you up on the phone Friday night and said, listen, I've come down with a bad cold, would you teach my class? And that's the first time you've ever taught Sunday school, it would thrill you to no end. It would excite you, but after you do something for a while, you tend to get used to it. Here's the gist of the message tonight. Don't get used to what we're doing for God.
Amen.
Let's let it continue to be a thrill and a joy. Let's continue to let it excite us. Listen, man, if I didn't still enjoy preaching, I would have burned out a long time ago. I'd have scratched off the meetings and done away with the calendar and said, forget it, I'm not preaching outside my church. 3 times a week is all I can do. No, man, I still like it. When it gets to the point where I don't like it, and I don't like it for a long, long time, I think I'll resign. Amen? Amen. I've listened to some preachers. I know they can't like their preaching because I didn't like it a bit. Amen? Amen. I enjoy what I'm doing for God. Listen, man, don't get to the place where you're in such a rut. Now, every one of us is going to get there. If you serve God long enough, you're going to get in a rut. It's going to get mundane. It's going to get repetitious. Here we go again. Some of y'all look at me like that. Here he goes again. Hey, man, some of y'all been listening to me preach for 18 years, man. That's a long time to have the same preacher. Amen. And still you look at me like a calf staring at a new gate. Amen. So we're all going to get in a rut. When you get in a rut, do your best to get out. When you get in a rut, do your best to get out. Find out why you're there. Why are you in the rut? What put you in the rut? What got you there? Why aren't you enjoying your salvation anymore? Back when we used to go four-wheeling, if your front tire fell off in a rut, best thing you could do was ride it out. Because that rut will end. Y'all okay? Don't try to fight it. You'll break an axle. Just ride the rut out. Find out why you're in there. If it's sin, repent. Amen. If it's a lot of times, in my case, it's laziness. Ain't praying like I ought to. Ain't reading my Bible like I ought to. Amen. Figure out why you're in there. Amen. God may be trying to teach you something in there. But figure out why you're in there. Listen, I want to talk to you about what it means to be a servant. What it means to be a servant. And it's an honor to be a servant. It's an honor to be a servant. First of all, let me say that a servant is identified with his master. A servant is identified with his master. In Bible days, I was reading in a book today, they said that they would mark their slaves, Brother Spartan. They would mark them. They said oftentimes with a branding iron, just like branding cattle. In other words, like the family crest or the family logo or the initial, whatever it was, they'd put that thing in a fire and they'd heat that up and they'd stick it to that slave's arm. Wherever that slave went, he was marked. What that mark said is, I belong to him. I belong to him. And somebody say, hey, you go do this or you go do that, he'd say, you're not my master. He is. Amen. Amen? Why come we're letting the devil tell us what to do when he's not our master anymore? We ought to be identified with Christ. In Matthew chapter number 26, you don't have to turn there, in verse number 73, you remember Peter was warming his hands by the devil's fire, and they were accusing him of being one of them. Remember what they told him? Remember what they said? You got to be one of them. Your speech betrayeth you. Your speech betrayeth you. Let me ask you a question. Does your speech betray you on your job? If you try to go to your work and fit in with the guys or fit in with the gals that are having all this loose talk and talking about things they ought not to talk about, how does your speech, does your speech give you away? Come on, talk to me now. We ought to be identified with Christ. You know what I catch myself doing? I catch myself talking to total strangers and saying things like, amen, brother. You know what? That's a dead giveaway. You're a child of God. Amen. Amen. I leave a cash register, no matter where I'm at, Walmart, grocery store, it doesn't matter. They say, thank you, have a good day. I say, thank you, God bless you. You know, just something, man, to let them know, hey, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I want to be identified with him. Amen. Amen. Y'all okay? Now, Brother John came to church tonight. He wants to be identified with the Yankees. Now, I don't know why in the world he'd do that, but he's got a big old Yankee, says Yankees right across his shirt. This world goes to great lengths and spends a lot of money to show who they're identified with. Yes, amen. Amen. All these kids wearing one around these shirts that say Abercrombie. Yeah. And if that ain't your name, don't wear that shirt, amen? Print me up some shirts that says Wyatt across them, amen? Hey, well, they want to be identified by a brand. Got to have a certain kind of tennis shoes, got to wear a certain kind of blue jeans. Hey, man, good kind of blue jeans, they ain't got holes and they cover your rear end. There's a good kind of blue jean. Amen. Used to when my blue jeans got holes in them, mama put patches on them. And them old patches, y'all remember them iron-on patches? Them old patches are so thick you couldn't even bend your knees, man. You walk like that. Amen. Them old rustler jeans, somebody help me right there. Anybody remember them? Come from Sears and Roebuck, I think. Amen. But anyway, everybody wants to be identified with this crowd or that crowd. Hey, man, what's wrong with being identified with Jesus? What's wrong with bowing your head in a restaurant and thanking God for your meal? Amen. We were in a restaurant last Sunday before last. Me, my wife, Katie, and her friend Amber, we went down here to this Iron Horse, barbecue place down here. And by the way, they got awesome vegetables on Sunday afternoon, and Brother Samuel was in there, Brother Samuel Art, and the waitress came over there, and she said, "Do y'all need anything else?" I said, "I need my ticket." She said, "You don't have one." I said, "What?" She said, "You don't have one." She said, "Somebody wanted to be a blessing to you, and I thought he done it, but he didn't do it. Some people I don't know, don't have a clue who they were, told the waitress they just wanted to be a blessing to us." Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes it pays to be identified with him. Amen. I'm going back there every Sunday and pray them people are there. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be back. Let them folks know we'll be back every Sunday. Amen. Same time, same place. Hey, y'all really want to shock them, y'all all load up and go with me and we'll all get on one ticket. Amen. No, I'm teasing. I'm thankful for that. It's a blessing that somebody identified me with the body of Christ. And I'm thankful that I did something in public to let somebody know what and who I was. Sometimes that something is simply bowing your head and asking the blessing. Amen. Brother Tony Shirley and I were preaching together somewhere, I forgot where, but we were in a restaurant and these four soldiers came in. They were all dressed in the BD, I guess you call them BDUs, Brother Greg, that's what they're wearing, camouflage, amen. Anyway, they all came in, they sat down and they ate, and I said, "Brother Tony, if you noticed them guys?" He said, "Yes, sir, I have." I said, "You thinking what I'm thinking?" He said, "Your credit card or mine?" I said, "Doesn't matter to me." I said, "But we need to buy them guys lunch. We need to buy them guys lunch." And I just walked by their table, and their ticket was laying there, and I didn't say a word. I just swiped it off the table. Boy, if I couldn't get 2 foot, that dude had my arm. I thought, uh-oh. He's not taking this right. And I turned around. I said, "Sir." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Man, I just wanted you to know you've been a blessing to us, and we want to be a blessing to you." He said, "You're Christians." I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." That's aside the point. Thank you for serving our country. Listen, it ought not to bother us to be identified with Christ. Peter got himself caught in a sticky situation. Amen. It wasn't a popular thing to be identified with the Lord. And it's not that popular today either, but it ain't as bad as it was then. I mean, brother, they were pointing fingers, said, "You was with him." No, not me. I'm afraid that's the way a lot of Christians are in society. Amen. Y'all okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I told you I was going to look at some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I worked with a guy for quite a while. Brother Clint Massey, do not repeat this outside this church. I worked with a guy for quite a while. He was my boss. He's in heaven now, and I loved him. But I worked there 4 or 5 months, and I got called in the office. I walked in the office. I thought I was in trouble. I said, "What's up?" He said, "You free 5th Sunday night of this month?" I said, "Sir." He said, "I want you to come preach to our young people." I said, "You want me to come preach to your young people?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You go to church?" I know, I wasn't being cynical or smart aleck. I was shocked. I said, "Sure, I'll come." Come to find out, he was the chairman of the board of deacons at his church. If you've been working somewhere for 3 months and people don't know you're a Christian, something's wrong. And not because of the fact that you've announced it to everybody and you got a bumper magnet on the back of your truck. Just by watching your life and hearing your speech, they ought to know there's something different about you. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look with me at verse number 3. Let me get my glasses out before I butcher up another verse of scripture. Here we go. Verse number 3, he said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." You ever heard the old saying, your life may be the only Bible some people ever read? Amen. We ought not to be afraid to be identified. And if we are really servants of God, we are. I know proud's a bad word, but we're thankful for it. We're thankful to be able to be a servant of God. And we're not just servants of God on Sunday and Wednesday. We're servants of God on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I said a servant is identified with his master. Amen. We ought to see to it. Now, I don't like pushy people. Sanctimonious, self-righteous, pushy people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Our job is not to cram the Bible down everybody's throat. Amen. Amen. But you know what I found out? If you just live it and walk it instead of just talking it all the time, they'll receive you much easier. And when they need something, guess who they're coming to? When their wife finds out they got a tumor, when their baby's in the hospital, guess who they're going to corner up at work? Hey, come here. Would you pray for my wife? Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you'll just live it in front of them. Man, I worked a public job. I did for till 17, 16 years ago. I worked a public job every day. And, man, it was always an honor when they had Christmas dinner at work or Thanksgiving dinner at work, and they'd always say, "Brother White, would you lead us in prayer?" Amen. I wouldn't ask some backslid carnal Christian that, would you? And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying maybe I live some way in front of them that identified me with Christ that they weren't ashamed to ask me to pray over their food. Amen. A servant ought to be identified with his master. I'm not against wearing T-shirts with scripture on them. I got a closet full of them. But that shouldn't be the only thing that identifies you with Christ. Amen. You get around. I joined our hunting club down there in South Georgia, and they have a big meeting every year. It's mandatory, and you got to show up. And I always have somewhere to preach. Amen. But anyway, you're supposed to go. I get around that crowd 5 minutes, and I can tell you who is and who ain't. I can just listen to them men talk, and I can tell you who's saved and who's not. Amen. I can tell you, I can't tell you who's saved and who's not, but I can tell you who's living for God and who ain't. Amen. Why? Same thing with Simon Peter. Their speech betrayeth them. You know what I found out? If you'll use these little catchphrases, and I don't do it on purpose, it's just become part of my vocabulary. You'd be surprised how many Christians you run into. It'd blow your mind how many Christians you run into. We was at the hospital. We might have been at Scottish Rite. I know we were together, me and Brother Freddie. I believe it was Scottish Rite. And we went down to get something to eat. I think it's when Don and Candace's little girl was having surgery. Now, anyway, we went to the cafeteria to get something to eat, and we're checking out at the register, and there's a black lady there. And she rung up my thing, and I said, "Thank you, ma'am. God bless you." She said, "Oh, God bless you too, honey." I mean, you know, it just blow your mind how many times you just you just let yourself be identified. You might be surprised how much fellowship you'll get into. Amen? A servant is identified with his master. Number two, a servant is obedient to his master. You understand that? You know the story about the bond slave, the one who was let go. He was set free, but he came back, and they bored his ear through with an awl. He came back because he loved his master, and he wanted to serve him. You remember over in Solomon when the Queen of Sheba came, and she said, "Oh, how happy are these thy servants." Y'all remember that? And she thought, "I ain't never seen people who were happy slaves before." Oh, Brother Randy always signs his letters, Brother Randy Pike, his happy slaves. Amen. We ought to be obedient to our master. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We can stand and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," all day long, but if we're not keeping his commandments, somebody said, "Wait a minute, preacher, what are his commandments?" He left them way back over there in Exodus chapter number 20. You mean the Ten Commandments are Jesus' commandments? Mm-hmm. They certainly are. That'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it? He added some to it as he went through the Gospels. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I mean, he added some commandments to there. He didn't change the old ones. If he did anything, he intensified the old ones. Do you ever go through and just read the Ten Commandments? How many have you broken lately? Seriously, look it over. We ought to do our best to be obedient. Not just to avoid punishment, but because we love Him. Amen. Amen. Some of you men cut grass to keep your wife from yelling at you. I quit cutting mine. I just turned the horse out of the pasture. Amen. He eats and fertilizes all at the same time, so that's a blessing. Amen. When I was a kid, I had chores to do. I had my list of chores. My little sister Pam had her list of chores. My mama worked two jobs, and when she come home, them chores better be done. Them chores better be done. And here's what I'd do. I knew what time she was coming home. So I'd wait till the last minute. I'd go, oh, no, mama's on her way home. And you'd be surprised how fast I could make the bed, wash the dishes, sweep the floor. I'm talking about like lightning, man. My mama would leave Villa Rica Hospital in time she got home in New Georgia. That house would be clean, amen? But see, I knew when she was coming home. I knew what time she got off. I don't know what time the Lord's coming. I don't know when He's coming back, but I want to be found faithful doing what He asked me to do when He does. Amen? I'm kind of like old Clarence Harris. They always asked old brother Clarence Harris, said, what do you want to be doing when you die? He said, I hope I'm behind a pulpit preaching the gospel. And he was. He preached his last sermon at Second Baptist Church at Dallas, Georgia. Given the invitation, he said, brother, he said, you just don't ever know. And he snapped his fingers, fell over, graveyard dead. Wow. Right there in the pulpit. I think it's pretty cool. I bet that was a good invitation. Hey, man, I guarantee it was. Hey, he was ready to go, man. He is 83 years old. He is ready to go. Hallelujah. I think God found him faithful, doing what God asking him to do right up until the very end. Somebody said, when are you going to retire? Man, retire? My retirement's out of this world, friend. Man, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Whatever it is God asked me to do, I want to be doing it when He comes. Amen. I want to be obeying or following that last order He gave me. I want to be obedient to my master. That marks a good slave or a good servant. Amen. The mark of a good servant, he's identified with his master. Everybody knows who he belongs to. Number two, that a good servant is obedient to his master. He does what his master asks. Do you ever do anything he don't even ask you to? I don't think everything has to be a calling, do you? I believe in that Macedonian call. Sometimes there's just a need. Sometimes, let me say it again, sometimes they're just a need. Well, God hadn't laid the bus ministry on my heart. He don't have to. We got them in the parking lot. Well, I got a CDL, but I really ain't got a burden. You ain't got to have a burden. Your church has a bus ministry. Is that okay? You don't have to have a burden to drive a bus every now and then if we got a driver out. If you got a CDL license in your pocket and you hiding that from everybody, you need to tell Greg Godfrey as soon as church is over, hey, you need a driver some Sunday, let me know. Can we just get on this just for a few minutes? Is it okay? Shouldn't nobody have to beg you to cook bus breakfast? Why? We have a bus ministry. We shouldn't have to beg you to come to Sunday school. Why? You're part of this church. We have Sunday school.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Hey, man, when you joined, you got it all.
Right.
Well, I'm just not part of the bus ministry. If you're part of this church, you are.
Yeah.
We okay? Amen. It doesn't have to be some big shining light come down in your life and says, I want you to do that. No, man, just be a part. Let me ask you a question. If you've never been led to drive a bus, but we have a driver who's out, and you drive that bus, but God didn't call you to do it, do you think He'd be happy with you anyway? Do you think it would please Him to know that you went out and picked up some of His little old boys and girls and made a way for them to get to church and when they otherwise wouldn't have been able to? You enabled some little lost boy to come and hear the gospel for the first time and trust Christ as a Savior, but God didn't call you to do it, but you reckon he'd be okay with it? You reckon God's in heaven with His arms crossed and His lip pooched out, and I didn't tell Him to do that? Now, here's God's attitude. I didn't tell Him to do it, but I'm sure glad He did. I'm sure glad somebody went and got that little boy so he could hear the gospel. I'm glad somebody went and got that little girl. Amen. Somebody drove that van tonight and went and picked up a load of teenagers. Hallelujah. God, that doesn't have to be a burden, man. It's just a task that needs to be done. We okay? God's servants are identified with him everywhere they go, every day of the week. We ought to be identified with him. God's servants are obedient to him. What's he ask you to do? Or what need have you stepped over? You okay? We're not careful. We spend more energy trying to get out of work than we do working. Oh, yeah. You see one of these leaders in the church headed your way, you're like, oh. What are you afraid of? Afraid you might get a blessing? You might. Man, if you just let God use you, you might get a blessing. Do you ever have the Holy Spirit specifically speak to your heart and tell you to do something and you don't do it? Have you ever done that? He gets me on airplanes all the time. All the time. I can sit in the waiting area at the gate, and I can just look at the crowd and tell you who I'm going to sit by. I can just about nail it down every time. Some woman who needs two seats and has a screaming child, she's sitting with me. Guaranteed. Or some stuck-up, highfalutin man. Snob. Here they come. I'll watch them. Here's your seat right here. Here, I done got your seat belt pulled out here. Here. You right here. As soon as they sit down, the Holy Ghost starts. You going to tell them? You going to tell them? Well, I'll wait till we get in the air. The landing gear just came down. You going to tell them? And that old heart starts going. You say, ma'am, excuse me. And that baby goes, wah. Isn't it amazing? If you don't fly, you don't understand this. But as soon as you hit the ground, they shut up. But that's probably their little ears hurt up in the air. I don't know, but I hate to be cruel, but Lord have mercy. Give them a sleeping pill for you. Brother, I've had the Lord speak to my heart and tell me to do it, and I didn't. You talking about ruining your day? This is what happened to me one time. I was on an airplane. A man sat down next to me. We struck up a conversation. The whole way God's dealing with my heart about witnessing that man. He's got on a camouflage jacket. Real tree. So we start talking about hunting. I had every opportunity in the world to witness that man. Brother Eddie, I didn't do it. I got to the meeting to where I was supposed to preach that night. They called my name, introduced me, and called me to the pulpit. I bounced right up there. And standing in that pulpit, the Holy Ghost said, oh, you'll do this, huh? Now you're going to talk? As sorry as that sermon was, I'm surprised they gave me a love offer. I asked you to speak up for me earlier today, but now you are? We got quiet in here. I said, Lord, if you ever put that man back in my path again, I'll witness to him. He hadn't. Might have been the only shot. I believe if we're truly servants and we're honored to be his servant, we'll be obedient to him. Sometimes we disobey him, and just when he puts somebody on our heart and we don't pick up the phone. Do you know phone calls can be a blessing to somebody who's down? Somebody who's out. I got a couple in my mind. They've been out for about 3 services. Wonder how many people's called them. You know their first excuse when they get out of church? Nobody called me. Nobody checked on me. And I know it's an excuse, but it's a good one. If there's such thing as a good excuse, it's a good one. Literally, we get out of church, we're without excuse. But if there's a good excuse, that's probably A number one. Oh, nobody at church must not love me. Ain't nobody called to see if I was okay. Just a phone call. Drop a card in the mail. His servants are obedient. Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, God honors your obedience more than what you do or how much you give. Amen. Amen. I know this is simple and it's elementary, but we ought to be reminded of that every now and then. As servants, there are certain things that are expected of us. We do our best when we get out in the world to blend in. I'm going to preach a message. I just write down little thoughts and build on them later, but I'm going to preach a message on camouflage Christians. I was in the woods one day and couldn't find a tree I was looking for that morning before daylight, so I sat down on the ground. I had on camouflage from head to toe, face mask, real tree. I sat down on the ground. Man, I've been sitting there about 30 minutes. Sun gets up. Hey, a doe walks up about 20 yards from me, and she's going like this. Stomps her foot. She can't figure me out. I'm at one with the tree, amen. She looks at me for a few minutes, goes right on. You know what I realized? Man, I was too camouflaged. We got too many Christians that are too camouflaged. Our goal is to go out in the world and see if we can just blend in with them and not stick out. Amen. Remember what the little girl asked her Sunday school teacher? She said, "Teacher, if the Lord Jesus is inside me and he's so big and I'm so little, won't some of him stick out?" Amen. You get some wisdom from them little children, amen? He ought to be sticking out somewhere, amen? We're identified with Christ. If we're a good servant, we're obedient to Christ. And then we ought to be ministering or working for Christ. If we're a child of God, amen? We ought to be. And let's see, go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Now watch this. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Two more verses of scripture and we'll be done. Y'all doing okay?
Yes,
we ought to be doing something for Christ. My mother-in-law, she's not here tonight, but by the way, she is one of my heroes. That's one of the godliest women I've ever known to go through as much as she's gone through and still serve the Lord is just absolutely amazing. But she visited our church. She went to a Southern Baptist church for a long time and was faithful there. But she visited our church for a while after her third husband had died, and she started coming, and she came for a long time before she joined. Here's what she said. She said, "I'm afraid to join the church because you can't just join Happy Valley and not do something." That was her statement, and I thought, boy, that's good. That's good. Did you know there's a place in this church, within this congregation, for everybody in this place to do something for God? There's an opportunity, man. They're everywhere. You say, "Well, I want to be a part and I want to do something. I just can't find anything to do." You're not looking.
That's right.
It's there. I promise you it's there. And 1 Peter chapter number 4, look with me at verse number 10. The Bible said, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Wow. He said, "As every man received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." In other words, give out what you got. Amen. Give out what you got. This is not ours just to hoard up and hide in a closet somewhere. And you know the old song says, "Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. If we're really servants of God, we're serving Him. The word servant implies service. Do you understand that? The word servant implies. We got a lot of Christians, but not many servants. Servant implies service. What are you doing for God? Personally, in your life, what are you doing for God? What is your service? You say, "Well, I consider myself a servant of Christ." If you do, what's the service you're providing? If you go to Walmart and you go back to the service department, they give you a service for a charge. They'll change your oil. They'll rotate your tires. Amen. What service are we providing? Are you providing a service of being a prayer warrior? I guarantee you everybody that wrote something down on this expects it to be prayed for. Everybody that wrote something down. Did you know people have confidence in our prayers? Man, especially since God healed Ashley Hoffer of that cancer, people call here from all over the country. Hey, preacher, we got a girl in our church just like that girl in your church. Y'all pray. Somebody believes we can get one through. Amen. When we pray for people, we're providing a service. God likes that. When we witness to people, we're providing a service. When we go out and pick up these little boys and girls, somebody said, y'all make much of the bus ministry. No, the bus ministry makes much of us. Is that okay to put it that way? You stop them buses, we're done. I'm serious, heart attack, man. That's the heartbeat. I believe God puts up with some of us because of them. I believe he looks over some of our stupidity because of them kids. I really do. God says, yep, they're an idiot, but they're going to get them kids. If they had a brain in their head, they'd take it out and play with it, but they're going after them kids. I'd have wrote them off a long time ago, but they're going after them kids. Amen. That's kind of like God having favor and grace on America because of our relationship with Israel. Hope to God we get a president that loves them. Amen. Because we got one now that don't. Y'all all right? And God shows favor to our country. God shows favor to our church because we show favor to them kids. And I know it ain't God's will for every church to have a bus ministry, but it's God's will for this one to have one. Amen. It's evident. It's evident. Did you know that bus ministry never went without? Never went without. God's provided for that thing every single time. It is a miracle from heaven them pieces of junk crank and run every Sunday. That's a miracle of God, man. The world's done used them up, wore them out. They're done with them. They're trash. They sell them to us for a dollar. We're picking up children on a bus that cost a dollar. Some of y'all looking like, I don't know if I'm putting my kid back on that bus. And we get them things for a dollar and run them for 4 or 5 years. Somebody said, what do y'all do when you get rid of your buses? We take them to the trash heap, man. We recycle them, amen. But let me just throw this in. I'm going to tell you what a blessing it is. We bid on them buses down there at Carroll County. We bought two or three for a dollar. We run them till the tires fall off, carry them to the scrap yard, and you know what we get for them? $1,400. It's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Next time we do that, we'll call Carroll County and say, we want 1,400 of them buses. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, man, we ought to be ministering or working for Christ. He made us stewards of the grace of God. You know what a steward is? It's a caretaker of what God left here. Somebody said God couldn't be here tonight, so he sent me. Pretty bold statement, isn't it? But you know what? It's true. God sent us. God sent us. The very last instruction he left for those disciples was to go. They were sent. You know what we are? We're sent. In your service for God, what are you doing? And here is the number one answer. Well, I go to church. This is not what we do for God. This is what God does for us. I'm coming in on Wednesday night to get my fix to make it through Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Amen. I'm coming in here just to get a little pumped up. You know, I mean, boy, I need to hear some good singing. I need to hear from the Word of God, and I can go out and do it again. Amen. This is our gas station, brother. We come in running on empty, but we can leave full. Amen. Out there is what we do in our old building, Brother Charles. You'll remember as you went out, when we first came, there wasn't a foyer. It was a front porch, but we closed that thing in, made a foyer out of it. We made a sign and hung over that door as you go out. You remember what it said? You are now entering the mission field. When we think about mission field, we think about Africa and the Ivory Coast, and we think about China and the Philippines and Thailand. No, man, the mission field's right here. This is our number one mission field. Villarica, Georgia, Dallas, Georgia, Bremen, Georgia, Tallapoosa, Temple. That's our mission field. Amen. And every time we walk out of here, we're missionaries. Full-time missionaries. certain crowd of preachers I run with, they love to use that term full-time ministry, full-time ministry, full-time. I believe every Christian ought to be a full-time Christian. Amen. Amen. I said every Christian ought to be a full-time Christian.
Right.
Amen. I'm telling you, it's an honor to get to do something for God. It is an absolute honor. I'll be honest with you, I can't believe he's letting me stand here tonight. I can't believe he's letting me preach to men the caliber of Charles Dyer and Greg Nick. Does that ever blow your mind? Does it ever blow your mind? It blows my mind. And it excites me. I get to do this again. Somebody said, when are you going to hush? I may not. Are you enjoying what you're doing? How about the nursery? Do you enjoy that? Boy, it got quiet. How about the nursery? You enjoy that? You know why I see the same ladies in there over and over? Because I want nobody to help them. So their rotation comes around too often. Did you know that nursery provides a service for God? Do you understand that? That nursery provides a service. How many of you believe the devil makes babies cry? I've seen it 1,000 times. Watch a lost lady come in here on Sunday morning, sit down with a baby. That baby don't make a sound of the invitation. That nursery's a blessing, man. I would keep it, but I have to preach. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Seriously, when you keep the nursery, somebody's getting to hear the gospel. And when it's somebody else's turn, you're getting to hear it without interruption. Amen. I was in a church one time. Preacher made this statement, and I thought, I'm almost done. I'm going to quit. The preacher made this statement. He said, oh, just let them babies cry. Not, y'all can let them cry too, but take them out of here. We're in church, man. We're in a spiritual warfare. Somebody said, let them babies cry. I can preach over them babies. It don't matter how loud I preach if I don't have your attention. Y'all okay? I'm telling you, that nursery provides a service to God. In other words, you keep that crying baby back yonder, God's able to speak to somebody's heart in here. And the Lord sees that, and the Lord blesses that, and the Lord honors that. Amen. A servant is identified with his master. He's obedient to his master. He works for his master. And then lastly, and I'm done, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. A servant is supplied by his master. He's given everything he needs to get the job done by his master. Amen. We're not asking for the world to help us. We're not asking for the world to help us. If they want, if somebody in the world wants to send a donation, we'll take it. Don't get me wrong, I ain't an idiot. One preacher asked me, if somebody won the lottery, would you take their tithes? I take drug money, man, if we pay this place off. Amen. Coming from this crowd, it's just liable to be. Amen. Amen. I worry around here when somebody says, pray for my crop. Amen. Amen. We are supplied. We're supplied by our master. Amen. Now listen, money runs tight around here. It does. It runs awful tight. But you know what? We got lights on tonight. The heat's working tonight. Always somebody complaining about it being too hot or too cold. Go back to them early days like the Wesleys. We just meet in the field somewhere. That'd cut down on the overhead, wouldn't it? We're going to meet in so-and-so's pasture. How about, I wonder how many would show up. Okay. Man, God has been faithful to supply us. As far as I know, the track rack's full. Every pocket on the doors of my truck are full of gospel tracts. What are you saying? I'm saying God has supplied me with what I need to serve him. He supplied me with everything I need to serve him. I got clothes to preach in. He supplied me the word with the word of God that's perfect from beginning to end. I don't have to wonder if I've got the right material. I've got the right material. Preacher told me last week, the little church I preach in Louisiana, I'm talking about they country. Cornbread looks at them folks and says, they country. Chitlins look at them people and says, they country. But when I go in there, I'm the only man in the place with a tie on. Pastor don't wear a tie. He wears blue jeans and cowboy boots and a like a Western type shirt. Same thing everybody else in that place wears. And he tells me every time I go, Brother Eddie, you don't have to wear a suit and tie. I said, man, you don't understand. You don't understand. It's not a conviction. This is not a conviction. It's kind of like them football players. They're going to spend an hour before that Super Bowl just getting dressed. It's kind of getting their game face on. You know what I'm saying? But when I put this suit on, I feel like I got to preach somewhere. Y'all okay? Man, God supplied. That's what I'm just trying to say. God has supplied us with everything we need. Everything we need. Even when I think I don't know what to say, he gives me what I need to say. I've had people 1,000 times, Brother Freddie, say, I don't know how to witness. I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired of hearing that. Yes, you do. You don't have no trouble telling somebody about the buck you killed or the bass you caught. All you're doing is repeating what happened. You don't need a class for that. That little lady at the well didn't go to discipleship training before she went back to town. She left immediately. Left her water pot. She even forgot why she came. Went back to town and said, come see a man. That blind man, they asked him, said, what happened? He said, I don't know. He said, all I know is I was blind, now I can see. Amen. And his name is Jesus, and he went yonder way. Amen. Amen. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I don't know how it happened. I can't explain it to you, but I asked Christ to forgive me of my sins, and he did. Now I'm going to heaven when I die. You don't need a class for that. If you need a class for that, you didn't really get saved. Amen. And there's not a breathing, living soul in this room. If something wonderful happened to you, you'd tell it to somebody. You would tell it. I saw that publisher's, I was going to say Ed McMahon, he's dead. If he brings you a check, buddy, you really ought to be surprised. Amen. I saw that publisher's clearinghouse. They're giving away $1 million a year for life. How cool would that be? I pray one of y'all win it. If I win it, I know where that first million's going. It's paying this place off, son. You can imagine handing Tom a check for $1 million. He'd fall. Brother Tommy better be ready with that defibrillator. Amen. Listen, I'm just saying, God has supplied all our needs. Yet we worry and we fret. He always has. I believe he always will. Yeah, but the economy. Ain't nobody look like you starving in here. I don't know. I don't reckon anybody walked here. I'm telling you, God's taking care of us. He's supplying our needs, friend. There's not been one Sunday, Brother Freddie, that we've had to say, sorry, bus workers, we can't put gas in the buses. He showed up every single time. Our mortgage company said if you don't have $10,000 in reserves by the end of the year, by December 31st, we're going to call your loan. I'll be honest with you, I worried to death about that. Brother Tom called me January 2nd. He said, just thought I'd let you know, money's in the bank. It's just God being God. That's just God. God knows we need this place. I tell you how faithless I was. I rode around town looking for a building big enough to rent we could have church in. They ain't one. Something would have to stop. So you know what God did? God said they need that place. If they're going to keep going and getting them little kids like I'm doing, I'm going to have to keep them where they at. Amen. A servant ought to be identified with his master, ought to be obedient to his master, ought to be serving his master, and he ought to realize that he'll be supplied by his master. Amen. Every time you stand up at that rescue mission, God put words in your mouth. He'll bring your preaching to a whole nother level, won't he? I've noticed that. You go to preaching to jail, God will bring your preaching to a whole nother level. He'll help you to reach those people where they are.
Amen.
That's Him supplying your need. That's Him supplying exactly what you need when you need it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Are you enjoying being a servant? Are you enjoying serving God? Whatever it is that you're doing. And listen, there are no little jobs. There are no little jobs in this church. They're all big. They're all important. And we appreciate every one of them. Miss Stacy, she's up in the balcony. She puts cough drops in my thing over there. Don't nobody even know where them cough drops come from. Now you do. Miss Stacy, man, I appreciate that. I come in here on Sunday morning, my sinuses, my head's so stopped up. Man, I put one of them things in. I can breathe. Sounds like I need one now, don't it? Every little thing is a blessing. Every little thing is a blessing. And it's appreciated. But not just by me and not just by these others right here, but it's appreciated by the Lord. He's keeping score, not me. You may get the feeling nobody appreciates what I do. He does. He does. And that's the only one that really counts. Amen? Amen. Well, we got our prayer sheets. I hope that was a help to you tonight and maybe just an encouragement to keep doing what you're doing. Amen? And I know I don't tell you I appreciate you enough, but I surely do. Thank God for every single one of you. I appreciate Brother Tommy. Somebody can get up in this service and go out sick. He's right behind them out there doctoring them and taking care of, checking their pulse and all that good stuff. And, man, it's just amazing. God put the people we need in our church. Amen? And I thank God for it. Our prayer sheets are down here. If you want, yes, sir, Brother Greg. Next weekend.
They will have them here Sunday. If you forget, you'll still have Wednesday. You'll be here, but please, by Sunday.
Call me and remind me, brother. I got a big and 72 quart cooler.
Weekend after next. Weekend.